Okay. Vayakel, Pekudei, and Hachodesh. So, it's tempting to just go with Hachodesh, because Hachodesh is easy. But Vayakel, Pekudei has a lot in it. And we've talked about some aspects of it before. I think we had a shiur about the Kiyor once. I think we had a shiur once about Moshe putting up the walls of the Mishkan. I did a podcast last year on Kasher Tzivah Hashem as Moshe, because Vayakel Pekudei is all about the Jews doing what Hashem told Moshe, right? If you remember how Sefer Shmos works, once you get out of the Yetzias Mitzrayim Matan Torah part of it. So Truma and Tetzaveh are the instructions to create the Mishkan, right? Truma has the furniture, so to speak, and the building. Tetzaveh is the big day kahuna, the clothing worn by the Kohanim, and the Mizbeach, then which they bring Ketores. Then you have Kitisa with the Yegel. And then Vayakel Pekudei is, and they did everything in Truma and Tetzaveh, right? As a Baal Kriya, Vayakel Pekudei is always very interesting because the words are almost entirely the same as what you see in Truma Tetzaveh. Slight differences, like very slight, like there's a Vav here in the list where there wasn't a Vav in the other one. And sometimes different trop. So you read the same words, but your trop is different, which can be frustrating. But Vayakel Pekudei, for that reason, gets short shrift. People are like, well, I already learned that in Truma Tetzaveh. There is like almost no Rashi, because Rashi had explained everything in Truma Tetzaveh. But the beginning of the Parsha has something that I thought would be worth taking a few minutes on. And I gave you the English version of it in number one. You could take a Chumash and see the original. Sheshes Yamim, for 6 days you shall perform Malacha. That actually, according to some, is a quasi-mitzvah, right? You should specifically perform Malacha for 6 days. That's its own discussion. The seventh day shall be Kodesh for you, Shabbat Shabbaton for Hashem. I'm not going to be discussing Shabbat Shabbaton and what that means. That's a good question, but we're just calling it Shabbat Shabbaton for Hashem. Kol ha'osev o'malacha you must. All who perform malacha on it shall be put to death. And then, lo svaru esh b'chol moshvaseichem b'yom ha'shabbos. Don't light a fire in all of your dwellings on Shabbos. Yeah, why'd you pick out fire? You just told me don't do malacha. Anyone who does malacha is going to get killed. Stop there. Why did you decide that you had to mention fire, and what does this teach me about Shabbos as a whole? What would you say? Why did it single out fire? You gonna say? No.
Maybe because that malacha is like the rest was what to do in the Mishkan, but like fire was actually when you were actually working in the Mishkan. It wasn't used when it was created, or maybe they
did use it in creating things. They had to cook the dyes, you know, that they used the ingredients for the dye. There was fire being used.
But good
guess, Dina. Sorry, I should have said that first.
Totally
good answer. So the first answer, the pshat answer, is, I think, from the Rush in number three. I didn't take the time to translate the sources because I figured that we're not going to end up reading them out. We don't have enough time to read them all out. But they're here to be able to look at. The Rush answers that fire is something that everybody needs. Everyone needs to make use of fire, and therefore, we need extra emphasis. The Torah has to go out of its way to say, don't light a fire on Shabbos because it's ubiquitous. Right? You don't need to tell people don't sew on Shabbos with the same strength that you need to say to people, don't light a fire on Shabbos. So therefore, Hashem says, no malacha, and I'm warning you, that includes fire. That's the Rush's, explanation. However, you also have a Gemara, and what I want to show you are the two approaches that the Gemara brings, followed by a drash at the end, purely homiletic, totally not pshat, but nonetheless, the thing that everybody will remember for the Dvar Torah at their Shabbos table. So first we'll do the tochen, this real substance, and then we can do the drash also. So Gemara and Shabbos in source number 4. The Gemara asks the question of why you singled out lighting a fire, and it gives two approaches. Rabbi Yossi's approach is Havara lelav yatzes. Havara, lighting a fire, is singled out as a losase, meaning all the other malachos have the rule that the pasuk just said, death penalty for violating it. Lighting a fire, no, just don't do that. That probably means malkos in the event that somebody does it, lashes, but not a death penalty. It gets a lesser penalty. So it's singled out to say the other ones, yumas, are put to death. This one, no. This one is different.
Yeah. Why not more?
Yeah,
not
I would think
that's where I want to go, is why shouldn't it be? But first, I'll just tell you Rabbi Nassan. Rabbi Nassan says, no, that's not what it is. Rabbi Nassan says, I would have assumed that the reason why you're, not the reason why, that the application of the death penalty is if one performs all the malachos. If you do all the malachos, right? Lo sasek kol malacha. Don't do all malacha, right? Now, that really means any. But I might have thought you're only liable if you check off all the boxes. So, check off all 39, and, you know, you've earned Misa. The lesson of the Pasuk is to tell me, no, each malacha has separate liability. When the Torah says, one who performs any malacha will, yumas, will die. For example, havara, the person dies. That's the explanation of Rabbi Nassan, which, you know, Rabbi Yitzchak Karo, the uncle, as they wrote there in number 5, of Rabbi Yosef Karo, author of the Shulchan Aruch, so his uncle says, we use fire as that example within Rabbi Nassan's view because it's the basis for so much of what we do. Not every malacha requires fire, but a lot of malachas require fire, not so different from what the Rush said before. But within this view of Rabbi Yossi, like Dina asked, good question, it is. Why is it that you would have a lower level violation if you light a fire? You've just told me it's like the malacha. So why would it have a lesser punishment? What would you say?
Because like to sew, it's like you're flat out going to do an avera. You don't need to sew.
Oh, you think it's not?
But to light a fire, you're like, oh my gosh, I can't see a thing. My baby's crying, and you light a fire.
Good. So this idea comes up in a couple of sources. What I showed you in number 6 are 5 different explanations for why we're not supposed to perform malacha on Shabbos, each one anchored in a pasuk. The first is, Hashem created the world in 6 days and then stopped on the 7th. You remember Hashem's creation of the world by not engaging in creative malacha. That's the first one there. The second one there is, this day has been declared to be Kodesh in the pasuk we just read. If it's something that is supposed to be Kodesh, it's something that is supposed to be holy, Hashem is saying, don't do malacha, because doing malacha is a violation of Kedusha. Third, it's a distinct day. Hashem paused what he was doing, creating on that day. Mark that day as unique and distinct. Stop doing malacha. Fourth approach, it's declared as special for Hashem. That's what the pasuk said, right? Shabbat Shabbaton Lashem. And then the last one is, it also says that it is Kodesh for you in that pasuk. So it is a day that is special for you. Don't engage in malacha. Each of these explanations leads to an explanation for why Havara might have been an exception, why things might be different when it comes to lighting a fire. So, for example, to take what Chana just said, the Torah actually identifies Shabbos as Kodesh for you. Rav Moshe Sofer in the Chasam Sofer, which I brought in number 11, says, if it's supposed to be for me, then there should be an element of Oneg Shabbos, an element of enjoying the day. If I can't light a fire, I can't have hot food, right? I mean, we now use timers and hot plates and whatever, but it's certainly not as easy and certainly not as effective as if I can just turn on the stove and turn on the oven, you know, get whatever I need. So my thought would have been, it's Kodesh for you. You want it to be my day. Then you should allow me Oneg Shabbos. And therefore I would think I'm allowed to light a fire if it's for the sake of Oneg Shabbos. And therefore the Torah has to say not to. That's the, that's in line with what Chana is saying. If you say, going back to the first explanation here, that it's because you want to remember that Hashem created the world and Hashem stopped creating on Shabbos, so some of the Mefarshim argue, lighting a fire isn't really creative malacha. Maral points out, I brought it in number 7, things ignite, you know, when they heat up. on their own. Fire happens sometimes without human beings engineering it. Bechor Shor says fire doesn't really look like real malacha. I don't really understand what he means. That's literally what he says in number 8. Lefi she'ena nireis malacha kol kach. I don't know what he means by that. But the Sfarno says lighting a fire is destructive. It's destructive. It's not creative malacha. So that's, you know, another approach, to it. Fascinating idea. You telling me that Shabbos is a day of Kedusha? It's a day of holiness? Well, the Mishkan is supposed to be holy. You do light a fire in the Mishkan on Shabbos. We bring Karbanos in the Mishkan on Shabbos. I think it was here where we talked about that. Yeah. I seem to remember that. You were sitting over here, though. But in terms of the fact that I'm able to light a fire in the Mishkan, I would have thought, Ibn Ezra brings this, the Kliyaka brings this, I brought it in Ibn Ezra, number 10. He says, once you tell me the Kohanim in the Mishkan can light a fire, obviously lighting a fire on Shabbos is not a violation of Kedusha. You have fires in the Mishkan, you can have fires on Shabbos. That's the argument, for why Shabbos would be different. I don't want to spend all of our time on these because I want to get to the drash part because I think that's something that people will particularly enjoy. But you can make the argument that for each reason not to do malacha on Shabbos, remembering Hashem created the world and therefore you don't create, marking it as a holy day, marking it as a day that's different from all other days, marking it as a day that's special for Hashem. I'll just note that we are allowed to light a fire from an existing flame on Yom Tov. So the argument goes, once you told me in Parshas Kisisa, in Parshas Bo, actually, that Ochal Nefesh is permitted, I'm allowed to light a fire from an existing flame in order to cook food on Yom Tov, and that's a day that's for God. Shabbos is a day for God. I should be allowed to do that here also. So therefore, the Torah wants to, and that's the thinking of Rabbi Yossi of saying maybe fire really is a lesser malacha, and that's the why it will be singled out. But to get to the drash part, okay, unless I'm wrong and people really want to hear more about the technical. I see 2 head shakes, no, and the rest are silent. Okay, so let's get to the drash part.
I'll stay here till 12 or thank 1.
You. That's nice. Thank you. So it's a different kind of fire, physical or spiritual. The Kliyakar says, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Tes, says, that ein daleka mitsuya el b'makom chilul Shabbos. Fires start specifically as punishment for violating Shabbos, like physical fire. So what we're saying here, says the Kliyakar, is don't cause yourself to have fire in your home as a result of chilul Shabbos. It's not saying don't light a fire on Shabbos. It's saying don't cause a fire in your home because of what you do on Shabbos. No, he's talking like literal. He's saying literally. He's saying don't cause a punishment to fire. Don't make your home burn down, chas v'shalom, because of what you do on Shabbos. That's the Kliyakar's read.
Like Hashem will send you a punishment.
That's what he's saying. Yeah, that's scary. So keep in mind, the Christians took all their best ideas from us. They did. We know that.
Like the concept, like fire and brimstone. Yeah, but like God will strike you down, sort of like if you break Shabbos, God will strike you down and make a fire in your home on Shabbos. Kind of feels like a little like voodoo.
I mean, so
not that it is.
I mean, no, I understand what you're saying, and we have problems retrospectively in this kind of thing. Meaning, we're not a religion that believes, although you do see people do the following, but we generally speaking, if you look in the Torah, and you look in Tanakh, and you look at in the Gemara, we don't believe in walking up to an individual who suffers in some way and saying to them, oh, it's because you did this. We're not into that. However, like I said, there are people who do it. But we do believe, and the Nevi'im did this all the time, that you say to somebody in advance, you know, if you do this, that's going to lead to such and such. That you do see. And why it's okay in advance and not okay mm-hmm. after the fact is actually a very serious discussion, not for, you know, a short thing on the Parsha. But the other avenue here, and this is the approach of the Baal HaTurim, and it's the approach of the Alshich, is that it's not talking about that kind of fire. Rather, what it's talking about is Gehenim. And the Alshich says something that there's a Baal HaTurim here. I brought you in number 14, but I want to focus on the Alshich. He says, the Gemara in Chagiga says that every person has a portion in Gan Eden and a portion in Gehenim. Everybody has. It's only a question of which one they're going to end up with. But there's a spot for them here, and there's a spot for them there. And the Shabbos is a day of immense spiritual potential. Shabbos is a day of great Kedusha. It's a day of Neshama Yesera. It's a day when there's a great capacity for accomplishment on the positive side. And if one squanders it, then it's a day that is very destructive. And so the way that the Alshich reads the line is, with what you do on Shabbos, don't create a fire in your portion. Don't produce a fire for yourself as a consequence of what you do on Shabbos. Not the Kliyakar's idea of a physical fire, but rather a Gehinom fire. Be very careful of what you do on Shabbos. Don't make it a day of fire for yourself. That's the idea. I mean, it's still harsh. It's still, you know, this is not like nice, you know, happy, you know, Dvar Torah type stuff, I suppose. On the other hand, it's a fascinating question, I think, in terms of why the Parsha does this. Why does the Torah single it out? And what we've seen is simple level, everybody needs fire, everybody uses fire, and therefore the Pasuk needs to emphasize it, the answer of the Rosh. Another answer is lachalek, to teach me just that there's separate liability for each of the malachos, and fire is sort of the quintessential one, so we bring fire as the particular example. You have these other approaches to explain why somebody might have thought that fire is okay on Shabbos, whether it's because it's not really creative, or whether it's because you're allowed to use fire in the Mishkan, so you should be allowed to use fire on the day that's Kodesh, or whether it's because fire enables you to have Oneg Shabbos, all the different justifications one might, in fact, bring to downgrade fire as a malacha. And then finally, those who take it completely non-literally, and who say it means, don't let your conduct on Shabbos lead to a fire. Whether that means the physical fire of the you know, the Kliyakar's approach, or whether it's the spiritual fire brought by the Baal HaTurim and by the Alshich. Baal HaTurim, actually, come to think of it, is really in yet another direction. The Baal HaTurim says we have this idea that Gehenim stops on Shabbos. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Gehenim takes a break on Shabbos. So he says, Hashem says, my fire is halting on Shabbos. Your fire should halt on Shabbos as well.
So the people in Gehenna don't suffer on Shabbos.
Don't suffer on Shabbos, that's correct. Now that's a really good question that someone is about to ask me. They're outside of time. Number one, they're outside of time altogether. And number two, what time zone would they even be in? Like, is it when Shabbos starts in California? Is it when Shabbos starts here? Is it, what happens when you change the clock? Right. They should change the clock on Shabbos. Give them an extra hour. Right. I mean, that's the question. Is that meant literally? Is it meant allegorically? But you should know, like, people take this very literally, right? The idea of extending Shabbos, one of the explanations for why people extend Shabbos is in order that Gehenim shouldn't restart. There's a whole thing among the Hasidim about that idea. Not Rabbi Natan, but there's an idea among the Hasidim of specifically extending it so that Gehenim doesn't restart. The, you may be familiar with the practice that some have of not drinking water towards the end of Shabbos. That's because the fire of Gehenna is restarted. Don't.